Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
So you're connected, but you're on hold. And then let me call Miss Emily. How do you unmute it? But then wait, but you mean to state this on the conference? Okay, but then how do I unmute it? Oh, you already did. Oh, okay. So just say we're starting.
Hello?
Just say hello everybody, we're starting.
Hello, everybody. We're just starting in a few minutes. Thank you for joining us. Hello, my wonderful listeners. Thank you so much for joining me today for my first ever free webinar, The 7 Secrets to an Amazing Relationship. I'm so glad that you decided to tune in because In the next hour, I will show you how to straighten, how to balance, and solidify your relationships. And I will first share the special switch which you must apply in order to reintroduce harmony into your relationship. You will need to switch off 2 instinctive behaviors and switch on 3 instead. Well, I will reveal in detail the 7 secrets which will help you maintain harmony and joy in your relationship. And many of you are probably going to tell me, how can I do that? First of all, every 15 minutes, I will call a few of my listeners who submitted a question beforehand and answer their question live on the air. I will try to get to as many questions as time allows, but given that I received hundreds of questions, I may not get to all of them, but I will certainly try to do the maximum number possible. I will also use the term relationship and marriage interchangeably. Some of us are, and some of you are married and some are just in a relationship, but this seminar applies to all of you who just want to have an amazing relationship with the person you love. So I promise it's going to be such an exciting hour, so let's just get started. So when you talk about relationships, you will probably ask, what constitutes a relationship? A relationship in modern term means a connection, involvement, or association that exists between you and other people. But the word relationship originally comes from the Latin relatio, meaning to bring back or to restore. And this ancient word has not entered the meaning, has not entirely lost its meaning. A relationship is indeed at the end of times, at the end of the world. It is a restoration. When a relationship between two people is healthy, each person's sense of self is restored. So if you feel like broken, if you feel like you're alone, your sense of self is like restored. So you need to restore it by bringing the other half, the other person into your life. And probably many of you are going to ask me, how do I know the other person is my other half? So your faith before anything needs to be restored. And then the very moment, you know, when you bring that person in, your entire joy and inspiration is restored, because a true relationship is meant to act as it means of reestablishing the most beautiful qualities within ourselves. Because if you are really in a healthy relationship, you radiate wisdom, you thrive on fulfillment, you want to evolve along with the person you love. So a pure relationship is meant to bring the best in each of us and promote the most genuine version of ourselves. When, if you fail in a relationship, your entire life feels like it's falling apart. I mean, how many of you listeners are feeling that that's you? Like, oh my God, my whole life is falling apart because I'm divorcing and I can't function. I'm losing my job. I'm losing my home. Everything is falling apart. But in order to be in a good relationship, in a brilliant relationship, you have to evaluate the type of the relationship you have right now. So think a little bit. You have somebody in your life. Is that a karmic relationship? Is that a transitory relationship that is supposed to take you to something else? Is it a soulmate relationship, or you just in some kind of a life partner relationship? So you see the different type of relationships. So for you to be able to understand more clearly what's happening to you, you have to identify what type of relationship you are in. So you have to evaluate the characteristics of your relationship. Is this relationship karmic? What does it mean? Is this a relationship that is coming because you are meant to solve something that comes from previous experiences? Believe it or not, you know, I'm convinced that, you know, we carry memories from other time because we come from a drop of memory. So have you ever had that, what is called an instant connection, like the instant karma? Like you see somebody and you feel like you know that person. You have to be with that person. I did experience that when I was young and when I was met my husband. I had an instant karma. I just saw him. I saw me and him somewhere else. And then I realized that, yes, our memory that we bring to life, from life to life, you know, is helping us identify whether that person coming into your life is somebody that feels like you know him, he has to be in your life, and there's some karma to be played out. Or you just meet somebody, you're not very sure, you're not convinced, and you just feel like that's just a transition. So how many of you can say, oh, I'm just in a transition? I'm not very sure whether this person I'm with is going to be in my life for a long time. Now, there are also soulmate relationships in which your other half is that perfect match, and you just feel like it's the two of you against the world. Or there are relationships that many of you have that is just a life partner relationship. It's just somebody you decided to share your life with, and you will never feel the connection like a soulmate, but you'll always probably settle your life with that person because it feels like it's a partner, it's a life partner. But as I said, most relationships, however, are not very pure. You know, sometimes you see a pure relationship is meant to bring the best in us, to promote that genuine version of yourself. But as I said, relationship attained by all kinds of factors. Personal hardship, personal desires, opposite views, everyday stress, internal conflicts, external influences, external conflict. And if you look how many factors interfere between you and your partner, it's just amazing. I'm just giving you metaphorically what I think is a pure relationship. Think of a beautiful white dress, your wedding dress, that beautiful day when everything is white, everything is perfect. The dress that you wear when you got married, or that beautiful bright white dress that you wear because you feel like you can conquer the world. And that dress, you know, is just so pure. And that's the way the relationship may be at the very beginning. But the more you wear the dress, you know, let's say you want to wear it over and over, the dress can become stained. And that's exactly what happens in a relationship. It becomes more and more difficult to erase the stain which have been accumulated on a dress. That's why I think it's very important. Very similar situation like with the dress, the metaphorical way of talking. When a relationship becomes stained or attained, not at pure anymore by problems, consequently, the relationship loses its purity over time. That's why I always said you have to make sure that a relationship, it's always something that you work on to preserve it, to keep it in good standing, to keep it clean and in harmony and purity, to preserve its purity over time. Now, when we talk about relationships and we go back to the very beginning of our life, when we are born alone, but as soon as we enter this world, the first thing that happened to us, we start to develop relationship with everybody around us from day one. You know, we are nurtured by our parents. They're taken care of by other family members. And then we begin to pick and choose the people we want to have as friends. We begin to pick and choose the people we want to have like acquaintances and even enemies. And then at a certain degree in our life, we want to decide to bring in our lives somebody to be, as I said, to share our life with. Because this is, at the end of the day, our most important relationship is the love relationship. Because the life you build with a partner is your first foundation for evolution. So when you actually get married or enter a serious relationship, we begin to build. So when you enter in a marriage, you build a family, a financial stability, you build your own identity, you build your material possession, you build a house, a home. That's the foundation of everything. But let's say you build a house without a foundation, what's going to happen? That house is going to fall apart. So me, that I work in this field, you know, being a counselor and a psychologist and an intuitive person, I strongly believe intuition has played such a big role in the last 25, 30 years of my life, because I encountered every type of relationship possible. And the interesting thing is that most people come to me back of their relationship problem. They come back to me and keep on telling me that this is what happened lately and things have changed. And rarely I met a person who is 100% content with their love life. Rarely I've met somebody who can say, I'm blissfully married and I have no problems in 30 years, you know. The reality is that relationships have always problems. And you know, it sometimes it's even normal and they are even expected. And the real problem is that neither side wants to put an effort to fix the problem within their relationship. And that it's interesting how people change. People change in time. Their outlook of life is changing. The way they get older, you know, make them have a total different understanding of everything. And this becomes, you know, a cycle in which you can literally drown any relationship in negativity. So one stubborn tendency will lead to another and another. And before you know it, both sides are fed up and everybody wants to quit and your relationship doesn't have to get, cannot get anywhere. So you can work with your partner sometime to stop and reverse the damage that has occurred if you become aware of it. And if you realize that the relationship you are in is a karmic one, so you need to work for it. And the man you are in is a soulmate, so you have to work on that to take that relationship to the next level and repair and reverse the damage. It can be done. It can be done. I'm a firm believer that people can change, but they want to, they have to be willing to change. And you know what? Many times our ego gets involved. We become so stuck in something we believe that we just can't seem to pass it. So it's interesting. I was talking to somebody today, and this is somebody I know for many years. She came to me to counsel her for quite a number of years, and I remember for 9 years she was in a relationship with somebody who I think was something very karmic. So they were meant to be together, but at some point she got fed up with him. Her mother interfered, so she decided to let him go. Now, he got very disappointed, got involved with a woman at work. That woman, before he even wake up, put a child in his hands. And the man said, I'm not going to marry you. I mean, it's your decision that you gave me a baby. So he tried to come back to the woman he loved and came back to my patient. And fair enough, you know, they decided to get married. And after 1 year, they had a beautiful baby girl. Now, this man, so at this point in time, he had two kids, one with a woman at work and one with a woman he decided to get married after more than 9 years. Now, the problem is that my patient couldn't overcome the fact that he decided, you know, he kind of got involved with that woman and he kind of decided to allow that situation to happen, and he had another kid. So the ego became such a problem. So at this point in time, as much as they are so perfect for each other and they were meant to be together, the outside influences, her mother and now his mother, this other woman who came in, all the complication caused so much damage. And as I said, the problem is the ego. The ego became the number one factor. Her ego couldn't overcome what happened here, couldn't see past the situation. In spite of the fact that that other woman never claimed that she wanted him to be responsible for that baby, she never interfered, which was kind of a blessing. Still, my patient couldn't overcome. So at this point in time, that relationship is almost like supposed to fall apart, but there's still a chance. There's still a chance. You know, if you place the ego before I do, then you place yourself before anything, your needs, your desires, you know. You place everything before your partner. So how can you expect that marriage to work? Because your ego conditions how to, run and how to run a marriage. And your ego conditions you and is the first sign a failure in a partnership. So An everlasting relationship requires a continued sense of purity. That's what I said. You need to constantly revisit your action in a relationship, and keep that light going on, you know. Never allow the relationship to go in the dark. The ego must be, as I said, tamed to the point that you can see your partner's point of view and honor it without feeling that, you know, your pride has been bruised. So don't think this way, because it's all about thinking in a relationship. Now, it's interesting, but relationship can be, you know, damaged over time. Chances are that yours was it a purist at the beginning, but going back in time, try to remember how you fall in love and how amazing it was the moment you got married or the moment you got involved, and try to always remember which qualities made you interested in him. So these qualities are still alive in your partner, but you temporarily overshadow by anger, bitterness, frustration, your daily routine, being tired, being stressed at work, being influenced by people at work, being influenced by your parents. So see past those negative influences, negative emotion, and dig deeper to rediscover the great qualities that someone had when you fall in love from the day one. The fact is that person you attracted into your life was determined by your personal experiences in an early life. You know, I think Freud hit it on the head when he said that it all goes back to your youth. What we experience and children and in young adults shape the very course of our life. As a kid, you know, you watch your parents fighting every day. Is that you by any chance listening? Or you watch your parents' divorces, or you, without even realizing what happened between in your family when you're young, will affect who you attract into your life. You affect your own behavior, and later on you saw your parents divorcing, you might choose to kind of do the same thing. Because everything in life is a repetition, synchronicity. So your parents divorce, let me just divorce like my parents did. You know, without trying to work through the marriage. But in the end, the choice with yours, the challenges you are meeting in your relationship are just a mirror in a reflection of insecurities seated deep within you, insecurities which stem from your youth. I had a woman today on my radio show on Hay House, and she was telling me how she's been abused and how bad the situation with her husband is, and how he's trying to get her child away, and how he pretty much attacked her physically. And then I had a discussion after the show, and she was sharing with me, and what I should ask her during the show, I said, what happened when you were a teenager? What happened to you? And she was telling me how her mother never loved her, how she was a child that was never wanted, how she never had a good relationship with her mother, and the mother never loved her dad. So I realized that a lot of what she was projected in her life right now, she actually attracted a man who was much, much older, which makes me feel that sometime when a situation like this occurs, then you will actually tend to attract your father figure, you know, in the man you want to be with. So you always have to go within you and figure it out why you tend to attract. Now, I think I've been talking for quite a while right now. It's like probably around 15, 20 minutes. So I'd love to take a moment and hear your thoughts. So I would love to call, you know, the first three listeners and answer their questions related to their life situation and hear what they need to know, you know. I will probably have to wait a second to see who's my first caller, and then I'll take the first listener, and we'll take it from there. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi, my dear.
Hello.
Hi, my sweet. So how can I help you? You see, we have an amazing topic today, and I wonder whether you can relate to this topic, and if your questions to me today is about the relationship that you have right now.
Yes, it is the relationship I'm in right now. I'm in a relationship with a man who has a very bad temper, abusive,
mm-hmm.
verbally as well as physically and controlling. And I would like you to guide me to cut the cord, as I really do love this man and feel incredibly connected. And therefore, I want to send him love and help him. And because we, you know, we're both sad about this, and as we really want it to marry.
Okay, there's two things here. Am I talking to Robin now?
Yes, I'm Robin.
Robin, let me tell you this. The first thing I want to tell you. Were you able to identify the relationship with this man? Is it a karmic one? Is this a soulmate relationship? Is it a transitory one? Is it a life partner? How do you feel about who is he exactly for you at this point? Do you think this is a man who you knew and he had to come into your life? Do you think there's some kind of a karma? Do you think his abuse come from him being abused? Because there's a couple of things I want you to know before reaching any kind of a conclusion between the two of you. Do you think this is a relationship that is considered to be a karmic one?
Absolutely, because when we both met and both saw each other, we immediately felt an extreme attraction and connection.
Okay. Now, is this relationship conditioned by something, or do you just genuinely love the man and you want to be with him and you will accept the issues that he has and try to help him heal through you or heal the two of you together?
I think he's 67 years old. I don't think I can heal him or help him at all. I think the only way I can really feel as though what I can do is to heal myself.
Okay.
And
do you think this relationship is going to heal you? Do you think if you heal this relationship, you will be your own self? What an age difference is here? How many years between you and him?
Let's see, eight.
Eight.
8 years.
8 years. That's not such a big relationship. That's a kind of a normal type of a relationship. Now, I want to contradict you. You know, we can change at any age. I've seen this in my career. People can change at 80s. You know, if they really want to change, they will change. So it's interesting how the miracle of healing can happen at any stage of our lives. So my feeling is that because it's karmic, this had to happen, you know. Now, karmic relationship can be for a while. Is this a relationship that goes on in your life in the last 10 years or less?
No, I've only known him a little over a year. But
over a year? Okay. Now, to put it otherwise, have you been married before? Was there another relationship if I go back 10 years ago?
Yes, I was married before to someone who was bipolar.
Okay. So you attracted people who have this ups and down mood swings and problems of behavior. Do you think the previous, your marriage, was that a marriage who lasted around 20 years? Was that a long marriage?
12 and a half years.
Okay. Do you think that relationship is, that door to that relationship is closed? Because that's very powerful for you to be able to completely, you know, connect with this other man, is you have to close fully this other door. I think you did, but I just want you to tell me whether you think you did.
I was ready.
Yeah, I feel like that door is closed. That karma is solved. The relationship is, healed and resolved so you can move forward. I personally think you can help this man. I really think you guys can make it together. I think will be relevant for the two of you to move together. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And is that possible, to your opinion?
Well, I was living with him for eight months, but he was—he would, in the middle of the night, scream and yell at me and swear at me. And
so he became abusive. He became abusive. I really think that he's been very damaged himself. I also think he really needed you to heal himself. Mm-hmm. I think that he's acknowledging his wrongdoing. Do you see that?
Yes, he's already told me that he's done things that weren't right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But he won't admit that he's already hit me. He won't admit that.
Oh, okay. So I don't really think that physical abuse, I really don't agree with. You know, I have a hard time, you know, accepting the idea that you have to be that forgiving to allow somebody to do this to you. As much as I feel like you guys are so connected and there's a karma, I feel like this guy does to you what he did in another time. But this time doesn't have the grounds, you know, to do what he do. It's just that it can be something emotional, something chemical, something that I should say probably he need to be to some kind of a medication. I also think that in many ways he's similar with the man you just divorced. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's interesting that you attracted something similar. So you brought back into your life in your next relationship something that already happened. You couldn't break through that pattern, you know.
Yes.
But on the other hand, I don't think you should give up on him completely. Do you agree?
Yes, I agree. But he wants to give up on me because he's not able to control me. He wants to control
me. I think he's not able to control himself. I don't think he's.
Right.
I think he's not, and I think in order for him, for this man to really be with you, I think he needs to create that switch, and I'm going to talk about the switch in a minute. But I'm very convinced that, Robin, you will make a decision in the next 4 months, and if by any chance, you know, you decide to walk away from this, I want you to know that there is someone else coming into your life. That's my intuitive mind talking right now. There is another man who's actually 2 years younger than you and who's actually somebody who will be completely different than these two people we've been talking about, your ex and this man right now. So you know what? Allow yourself and open to possibilities and you have a life ahead of you, and I don't know if you should really settle for somebody who can be abusive unless you give him another chance and give him a chance for like 2-3 months to see whether he can really be the man you want him to be and if the change will really happen in him. Because if it's not changing, then you will end up by experiencing the same episode over and over again.
Yes, thank you.
So I love you, Robin. So thank you so much for calling me. I hope this helps, and I want you to keep me posted in the next 4 months. A lot is happening in 4 months. So let me know how this is unfolding, and if you will reach a resolution, it's definitely going to be in your favor. So be strong, you know, and allow yourself probably to still meet someone else. As I said, karmic relationship can still be transitory.
Mm-hmm.
And if this man needs to acknowledge himself, the karma he has with you, and he needs to be willing to heal it and resolve it, okay? As I said, relationship means restoring. And if you're not restoring anything, then you don't want to be with a person like this. I love you, Robin, okay?
I love you too, Carmen. Thank you so very much.
Okay, my sweet. I don't know if I can go to Anita. I'd love to go to Anita briefly. I want to see if I can talk to her. Anita? Well, I don't know if Anita is available to talk to me, and I'm going to go to the next chapter.
Yes,
which
no,
is
no, called... I'm here.
Anita, are you there? Okay, my sweet.
Yes.
So, just give me an idea of how can I bring some light into your life right now and where the problem really is.
Well, I've been in and out of a relationship with my boyfriend for over the last 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
We do love each other, I feel. But he's cheated on me several times, and each time I take him back each time. I do feel I have truly forgiven him, but just don't know why do I continue this relationship, as he's hurt me so much with all of his indiscretions. Currently my family and friends don't know that I've been seeing him again, and I'm not sure what to do. Why can't I see what they see, and am I wrong to try again?
I don't think you're wrong to try again. I don't know why. I think it's okay to give him another chance. I think it's okay. It's divine that you are able to forgive him. I think this is so beautiful. And you know what I mean? You know, think of all those women. You know, there are so many cases of women having. Think of Hillary Clinton, you know. I'm just giving you an example that everybody knows. A woman who had to forgive her husband over and over again till one day when he was never cheating on her again, you know.
Right.
And, you know, I feel like this man you're telling me again about is not going to cheat on you anymore, you know. And I do think that your relationship with him is that kind of a soulmate relationship. In spite of the negative action and karma that he created, I still think you're the one he truly loves. And I don't know if cheating meant he had other karmic things to go through. You know, I don't know if cheating is something that is within you and he's totally in denial about it, or is an obsession, or is some kind of a sexual problem that he might have at some point. It may be different things.
Right.
But overall, I feel if you're not listening to the people around you, because as I said, one of the most important things is not to allow yourself to be influenced by family, friends. Nobody has the right to tell you what you do here. You have to listen to your own heart, to your instinct, and to what you need to do it, to your own intuitive mind. And I think as you are able to overcome, you know, different instances in which he was not fair to you, because you needed to go through this, you know, you needed to go. As a pattern, I think you really needed to go. Meanwhile, I don't really think you attracted anyone else. Do you agree?
Possibly,
were you able
yeah.
to bring anyone else other than him? Or
no,
have the same feeling to another man that you had for this one?
I'm still like loyal to the man that I love that I know. Yeah, I'm so loyal, and I do feel we're like soulmates in a way that, you know.
Yeah, I really believe that this is a soulmate for you, and he did something wrong, and not only once, and I do think he regrets it. And as much as probably anybody will tell you, okay, when I want, let him go, you know, he's not good for you, he's cheating, he's going to cheat again. I have a totally different perspective. My opinion is he won't cheat on you. I feel he's sorry for what he did. I feel he is acknowledging you, the only one who put up with him. I think he also knows you're a soulmate for him. I think he really genuinely loves you. I don't know what he did with other women, whatever, you know. It's not relevant. He never wanted to be. At the end of the day, you know, men can be like bad kids, you know, who play with different toys and they don't know what they're doing at some point. But I really think that this man really cares for you. And he's capable of genuine feelings. And he's also capable, as much as it might sound like impossible, he's capable of commitment in his own way. And you're going to start to see that. So I do actually feel good about what the future has in store for you and this guy, because you know, any other psychologist will tell you, let him go, you've been hurt, you've suffered too much, this is not what you want, and you know, forget about this guy, and there's so many people out there, but you know what, this is a too powerful relationship to be broken.
Right. Exactly.
And I do agree, my feeling is telling me that he ever apologized to you.
Oh, yeah, he has.
He will apologize. He genuinely is sorry for what he did. He's finally calming himself down. I think at this stage with him, you can finally see the good in him and the qualities in him, and that these issues with betrayal and cheating going away, like being gone and being a part of the past. You know, this is the way I look at this, and I'm actually excited about it for you, because I think that you finally can breathe and do things the right way. Don't share this with anybody, you know, and just when the moment is right, you can let people know that you are back with him. Don't bring back the past and the pain. Bury the pain and the suffering. Forgiveness is key in your case.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
I love you, my dear. Thank you so much for calling me, okay?
Yeah, I love you. Thank you.
Okay, my sweet. So I'm going to go to the next 10 minutes to, you know, introducing you an idea that I came up with that is very, very powerful. You know, it's called the switch. The American psychologist William James said, whenever you're in a conflict with someone, there is one factor that can make the difference between damaging a relationship or deepening it. So the factor is called attitude. As I was talking to the other caller, it's all your attitude. Maintaining great relationship, it's all about your attitude. Then your attitude has a lot to do with the switch I'm talking about, because you always have to pay attention to switch off two of your instinctive behaviors within yourself, and you have to switch on three others. It's exactly like you go and switch off the lights in one room and switch them on in another room. Because you have to switch off two of those instinctive things that exist within all of us, which one, the first one is called fear, and the second one is defensiveness. In relationship, fear is there all the time. Defensiveness is there also. Because what fear does alters your state of being. You're afraid of being betrayed. You're afraid that he might cheat on you. And the more you're afraid, the more he's going to do it. And you know, you might usually be a very nice person, but when you're afraid, think of the fact that the worst traits surface as a defense mechanism. So you're afraid of something, you draw exactly what you're afraid of into your life. And this is the whole philosophy, what's within you, you attract. So you may constantly, as I said, be afraid that your partner is going to do something wrong. And that's exactly what that partner will do. Like, if you're afraid the partner cheated once and he will do it again, that will always happen. If you stop the fear and you switch off your fear, that will never happen. Believe it or not, it's that simple. But you will ask me, how can I switch off that? Well, I will tell you how. But you might be afraid, as I said, that the partner would probably abandon you. So fear must be eliminated. If you really want to live in harmony with somebody, then you have to eradicate your fear and have a little bit of introspection. Ask yourself, why am I afraid? Why am I afraid? Why am I afraid that you like another woman? What's the underlying cause of my fear? Where's this fear coming from? Do I have a rational fear, or my fear is irrational? I've seen so many people with irrational fear. Because sometimes, you know, there's you have to do the self-reflection. You can erase your personal fear and never sabotage your relationship again if you do always the self-reflection. You have to examine. And you know, when fear goes hand in hand with defensiveness, because becoming defensive is that part of a fight or flight response, which we all have. But if you can, but you can simply ruin a relationship with other because of this mechanism. So many times, you know, if a loved one is telling you something and you might get the words wrong, you go overboard and you respond defensively. Think how many times you respond defensively. So I want you to put your guard down permanently with the person you love. And as I always said, keep that ego in check. So keep in mind that when you respond defensively, you trigger a conflict. So I want you to pay attention when you trigger a conflict. How the conflict was created, and you're not going to believe it, is because of you responded when you're afraid of something that has been said, when you start to feel defensive about some words that you got them wrong. So being overly defensive does not have a place. A healthy relationship has nothing to do with fear and defensiveness. So in order to be aware of this too, the fear and defensiveness that are within you, that are at the cellular level, you have to switch on three things. You have to switch on first the self-awareness, and you become aware of your own fear and your own defensiveness mechanism. You have to switch on the patience and the tolerance. So first, be aware how you come across to others and the way in which you behave towards your love in your life. So increase that awareness of yourself. So that will actually change the dynamic of a relationship. If you come across in front of your partner like weak and vulnerable, it's natural that you'll attract people who will take advantage of you. And if you come across as looking for a fight, don't be surprised that your relationship will never last. You'll always be in a conflict. So it's crucial that you understand how you come across. That's why I want the self-awareness, awareness of how you come across. It's crucial that you understand how to come across in order to be able to control. So only by acknowledging the truth of how you react to the person in your life is going to help you to modify your behavior and admit that you're wrong. That's why the second factor is you have to have the patient. You have to have the patient. I talk about patient all the time on radio shows. Increase your patient level is in order to reach a point in which no longer feel anger towards your partner. Be tolerant, you know, it's the third factor. Because relationships take a certain degree of tolerance because nobody's perfect. And sometimes even your the dearest one will disappoint you or upset you or even betray you. That's very common. You know, everybody who says, I have a perfect relationship, they're lying. Those things don't exist. It's part of the human nature. And it's part of you to strive to be tolerant of mistakes and forgive as much as possible. Every single day you hear this word, forgive, forgive, forgive. When you behave with tolerance towards other and, you know, you forgive, you earn respect and your relationship will benefit. So I want you to apply the switch on a daily basis because little by little your behavior will change in favor of these three positive factors. You know, you notice immediately that you're less fearful. You'll find that you're not so defensive anymore. You'll see that your personality shapes into a more peaceful, more uplifting personality, more positive. So that's why we talk so much about affirmation. Reaffirm your inner transformation. Wake up every day and scream in loud voice, I'm aware of my intention and action. Act with patience and tolerance. My relationship are flourishing like flowers. Say that 10 times a day. Send that 100 times a day. My relationship are flourishing. Are flourishing. That's what you want. That's what you want to project. And build that self-awareness, the Taurus and the patient I'm talking about. I'm going to go to a second, the second round of questions. So I'll take another three more people who have submitted their question. And I want to start with my first one, and I think my next one. I think my next one is Sergio, and I want to see whether Sergio is waiting patiently to talk to me. Can you hear my dear? Can you hear me? Sergio, can you hear me?
Yeah, hello?
Hi, my Sergio. It's so good to talk to you, my dear. And thank you so much for joining me today. What a pleasure.
Thank you so much, and congratulations for the first webinar.
I am so excited. I love this. This is amazing.
Really cool. Yeah, I love it.
So tell me, Sergio, you know, what is your question in terms of your love life, your relationships that you're going through? So let me know.
Yeah, you were talking about this, like right now, more or less. And, well, I'm not in a relationship right now, but, like when I see my past relationships, I always see like a pattern that, as you said, that I always attract the type of person that maybe is not the best person that I would like to have a relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
But I, at the beginning, I get really involved and like I put a lot of effort in getting to know them and pleasing them, but then when it develops into something more stable, I can always start finding flaws and criticizing like their behaviors and yeah, probably my own.
How old are you, Sergio? Are you 28, 32? How old are you?
I'm 30. 30.
I believe I felt anything between 28, 31, around that age group. And I want to ask you, at this point in time, you know, if you go back in the last 6-7 years, was there ever a time in which you felt really connected to someone? Because I'm not very convinced if you really met the true love, you know. I think the karmic, the true, the powerful relationship will be coming to you, but it didn't happen yet. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Well, I was like in a, like, some months ago in a relationship, but it was like really a bit traumatic and stressful. And
why was it traumatic? Why was it stressful? Why did you attract that person into your life? And how soon did you realize that this relationship is not good for you?
Well, like at the beginning, like the other call said, like at the beginning, it was like really good and perfect, but then, like, he also had, like, some PTSD problems and, like, mental issues that, like, at the end, it's just like, mm-hmm. I couldn't help him anymore or just like deal with
well,
that.
Well, let me ask you, was this a relationship that you felt you had to go through? Was your intention to help him? Was this a karmic relationship? Did you realize this is just a transition to something else? Did you realize this from the beginning, or were you just thinking, this is my soulmate, I will do everything? What were your first feeling when you first met?
Yeah, my first feeling was like really strong feeling. And, well, then after...
Was this just
like
an attraction, you know, because sometimes relationships are conditioned by different factors. And the first is the image, the presence, the physical characteristic, the chemistry, the physical attraction.
Yeah,
and many times we confuse that with a more powerful, solid relationship because we are already conditioned by the physical presence. So I think that probably this... How long did this relationship last?
Like around a year.
A year. So that's quite a period of time for you to be able to acknowledge. So let me put it this way. So in this time of 1 year, was this like an up and down, like a roller coaster? Did you see this person really trying to build something or not really? What was, you know, because I feel like this relationship had a lot of ups and downs. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, absolutely. It was, and like,
it was not really growing. You know, a relationship that is meant to work starts to flourish, starts to unfold, starts to grow.
No.
I think that this relationship was not growing, was just superficial, and in my opinion, was not really a karmic relationship, was more based on some kind of a physical chemistry. And I'm going to talk about that if you listen to the webinar to the end. I'm going to talk about the fact that many times we just have this kind of a conditioning situation. So I feel that that was your case.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that makes sense.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
So anything you want to ask me about him? Excuse me. Anything else you want to ask me about him or anything else?
Well, well, about him, I don't know if that's like, because I always left like the door half open, but I don't know if that would work.
Like, are you still in connection with him? Is this somebody you still talk to?
Yeah.
But you don't see any movement anymore, no?
Not right now, no. And well, okay. Like lately, I met somebody else. And
I want you
know.
To let this go. So there is a side of me that says that if you let it go, it's gonna get better for you.
Okay. Yeah, it's been better.
I want you to close the door.
Okay.
I want you to close this door in order to be able to open another door. I still think someone else will come, probably in another 2-3 months. Who is this new person who came into your life? How do you feel about this one?
Well, I'm just like, it's like starting now, so like starting to get to know each other and like.
Is this good, somebody
but...
younger than you?
No, he's not.
Older?
Older than me.
I want you to pay attention, to build that awareness, because I still think there is someone else. So if this doesn't feel like it's karmic, it doesn't feel is that intense, take it very easy and see whether you're progressing here. Give yourself a little bit of time, but allow yourself to be open to anything else.
Okay.
And try to distinguish what type of a relationship you're looking for. And, like, write down what are you attracting. Who did you attract so far? Make, like, a list of who did you attract. Because I feel like you keep on bringing people who are not your match, you know?
Yeah.
And this is something that you can absolutely change. You can change it easily, okay?
Okay.
So you build that awareness in you, you know, who do you want to bring in and why you keep on bringing the same person. When you build that awareness, you break that pattern. So it's not going to happen anymore.
Okay. Yeah.
So I see someone new. I see someone new in the next 3, 5, 7 months, probably even less. But it's interesting, the person I see you coming into your life next is somebody lighter hair, a little bit taller and younger chronologically. So I'm just giving you a hint of why intuitive feel is coming into your life. And keep me posted when that is happening. Let's revisit. I do believe that the true love is yet to come. And I feel like none of the people you brought so far were meant to stay. We're just transitioning, as I said, was a relationship that were transitioning to a different level of your life, okay? So nothing to regret. Let it go. Let all go. Know why you brought them into your life and why you don't want to bring anything like this anymore, okay?
Okay. Yeah, I will.
Does that make sense?
That makes perfectly sense.
Yeah. So don't be worried. Have nothing to regret. Don't be upset with what happened. Let it go. There's a new beginning, okay? A new beginning, I promise you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, my pleasure. Thank you so much. I'm going to go to Sonia.
Thank you.
Hi, my Sonia.
Hi.
Hi, my dear. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
How can I help you, Sonia?
My question is I had a friendship with someone that has now turned into a relationship. He's going through a divorce right now. He's had a lot of personal issues that are going on in his life. I feel
he's having two children?
He has children, yes.
Yeah, two children? Yeah, okay.
No, he has four.
Okay. The four kids for the same woman?
Yes. Well, one is adopted.
Oh, okay.
He was married for 27 years.
Uh-huh.
Now, from what I get the feeling that he's being influenced by his friends. They seem to be telling him that he shouldn't be in a relationship right now because he's still going through a divorce. He seems to be a bit confused. He says that he doesn't want to lose me again. I feel that that he must be talking to his friends and they're convincing him that he should just let me go.
But that's exactly what I said, Sonia, at the beginning, that people are allowing themselves to be influenced, and that's when relationships are falling apart because of all these outside influences and outside
but
factors.
But I also think that he's confused, that he's not sure whether he should go through with the divorce or not.
No, he will go through the divorce. He will go through the divorce. The divorce
I get
is
that
in
feeling.
Process.
He says that he's scared to go to the next level with me.
That I believe based on what he experienced in the marriage. So based on the difficulties he's going, he has a hard time, you know, being able to heal. On the other hand, I still think he really needs you, Sonia. I really think he wants you in his life.
And
that's why he constantly says, I'm afraid to lose you, because the marriage is broken. So the legalities and the divorce is just a formality. But that marriage is broken, in my opinion, for more than 5 years. So I don't know what he's trying to... Sorry?
I said that you're right, and he actually broke up with me last week.
I don't think he's really breaking up with you, because I think he's trying constantly to come back. It's just he is so scared. He's so, you know, I talk about fear. He's so afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So the first instinct within
I don't know how to reapproach him again.
Don't have to reapproach him. It will have to come from him.
I live in New York, and we just went through Hurricane Sandy.
Oh.
And he text messaged me on Tuesday to see if I was okay and asked me if I needed anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I text him back, and he never responded, and I haven't heard from him since.
No, you will hear from him. Take it, you know, what I said, patience, tolerance, forgiveness, acceptance. knowing the relationships take a while, you know, to go in the right direction. Understand what he's going through. Don't put your ego first. Don't put your needs first. Put your needs and his needs on the same level, you know. Mm-hmm. Understand that he's more damaged right now. Understand that he truly loves you, that he's the one to make the first effort. He's the one to reach out to you.
Yes.
And that the fact that he didn't respond, I want to tell you, there's such a mess with the phones right now. I feel like my own phone, I have a New York cellular. People are calling me for days, and my phone is not ringing. So I'm not saying that he doesn't want to respond. I'm saying, you know, he is affected in many other ways. I think he's under a lot of pressure right now. So don't take
yes.
it personally, please. Please don't take your – as I said, don't put you first believing that – he's neglecting you. You know, don't think your attitude here is going to save this relationship. I feel this man wants to be with you. I think in the long run this can work very well. I also think you care for him a lot.
Yes,
he's a good man.
Yes, I do.
I think
yes.
you can be very good for each other. So I want you to
yes.
have the wisdom and the patience to survive this. Never become defensive with him. Never put your ego first. Never judge him for not being able to take charge right away. Be wise. Be wise. This can be worked out if you have the right attitude, the right mindset, and know that your love for this man and his love for you will prevail this negative situation. It might go on a little bit like this, up and down. Acknowledge that. But you will reach a state of calmness and harmony in this relationship somewhere in the next half a year. So be patient. Be patient. It's worth to be patient because you really care for him and he does care for you the same way.
So should I wait for him to contact me again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And when he does, don't be upset. Don't say anything. Act very normal. It's all a matter of knowing how to respond to everything that's happening, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's going to work, my sweet. It's going to be okay. You're going to be okay with this person.
Thank you.
Okay, my dear. Thank you, Sonia, for calling me. Be well, my sweetheart. Okay, I'm going to go now to... the three secrets to an amazing relationship. There are different secrets, but I'm going to go to the first three secrets. That actually, in my opinion, the way I structured the seminar, I thought of the seven secrets to your amazing relationship. But there are simple changes that you can make on an everyday life to elevate your relationship to its highest potential, because relationship require work. It's like going to school. And you go to different phases, and you take a relationship step by step. And allow a relationship like a learning process. It's a reflection of the things you need to learn about your own self. That's why we said a relationship are mirrors, reflection of yourself. The first thing I want you to know is simplicity. A secret to an amazing relationship is to simplify. Don't complicate things. Don't complicate your life. Make things simple. As a whole, always remember that moving forward is significant, and knowing how to make things very easy. It's just exactly like, you know, when it comes to food in a way. I'm giving you a comparison. There are thousands of ingredients that you can put in your food, but you don't need. The more you simplify, you know, the food, the healthier it becomes. So it's exactly a relationship. You need some ingredients. And there are the same ingredients. The ingredients of a love relationship are patience, wisdom, tolerance, and, of course, love. So remember, the simpler, the better. So don't do too much in a relationship. Don't overdo. A lot of people tend to do a lot. But there's nothing wrong with just relaxing. Enjoy the company of people, and that's it. So don't complicate your relationship by allowing other people's influence in. That other people have no business to be in a relationship. And they have no business to know how faithful or unfaithful your partner is. So the more you start spreading news and blaming and judging and feeling, the more your relationship is going to fall apart. So simplifying is the first thing. And the second thing, which is probably the most important of all, is the unconditional love and commitment. And I do mean unconditional because we condition our love. Our love was conditioned from the moment we laid eyes on our partner. So you saw your partner and you conditioned by his physical appearance. So the first condition under which we fall in love is the look. So, oh, it's pleasing to my eyes, so I fall in love that of his beautiful eyes. And so after physical appearance, what is next is our love becomes conditioned by other factors like his financial situation, his personal traits, his belief system, his religion. So at the end, you never fall in love with a person just because. You always have conscious and subconscious motives. So you must then ask yourself, can we really love without limits? Can we really love without any of this to be involved? So the answer will surprise you, because to fall in love, we cannot fall in love unconditionally, because the term of our love has already been conditioned by the aspects that are so important to us. How a person looks, how a person acts, the income, the belief, the family they're coming from, where do they live, the way they act, it's all already conditioning the moment you enter in a relationship. So we have this old instinct within ourselves that we need to impress. You know, we need to impress the other person. It's exactly like roosters flap their feathers to look like large and masculine as possible to the female. So people are no different. We may be changing the appearance from our animal ancestor, but we haven't changed the behavior. Well, even an inherent need to make a great impression on others, especially those who are, we are interested in. So before entering a relationship, we make our best side visible to the other person. So many women will come across like as the jealous type during the stage of a relationship. And not a lot of men will seem like cheaters. But when we actually enter a relationship and become comfortable with our partner, the bad is coming to the surface, the bad. So then everything is changing. You see, at the beginning, everything is bright, everything is light, everything is perfect. But once we enter a relationship, we learn to play by a completely different set of rules. The moment you know you got married or you settling down or you move together, there are different set of rules. You realize, finally, who your partner really is. Or sometimes we used to say you spend 20 years with your partner without knowing who that person is. So we begin to experience not only the good, but sometimes the dark side. We all have the dark side. We all have the shadow. So then we begin to love without conditioning. So the moment we're in there, you know, outside everything is perfect. But when we go inside, then we need to learn to love the bad. You're not only loving the good aspects, but then you really love the reality of it. So to make a relationship amazing, you will have to love that unconditional way. So you will have to surpass the superficial love that you felt at the beginning. So you make a promise to yourself that you will stay in this relationship, that you will commit it to your partner at the beginning. But then when you go inside, then you're really going to put yourself through the test and learn to learn the person the way it is and see that shadow and see the dark side. So simplify, love unconditionally, and then the compromise, you know. When we lack compromise in a relationship, we begin to forget the meaning of through thick and thin. So nowadays we think that people are interchangeable. We don't embrace our partner for their strengths and weaknesses. We only embrace what they can do for us. You know, that's what we do. So many of us know it. A few of us are practices. So the foundation of an interracial relationship is compromise. That's the foundation. To make something amazing, you're not going to do it without compromise. And that's what I'm teaching you many times. I'm listening to you and listening to what you have to say. I always said compromise will keep two people together. Compromise, I spent 27 years in my marriage till my husband died. I compromised a lot. And it honestly, everybody will do it. So think of your relationship as an important possession. You're the owner of your relationship. So you can mold your marriage into what you want it to become. So my advice is always place your family life before your professional life and everything else, because many women are career women, which is amazing. But the problem begins when their career overlaps into their own home life, which is very common today. Since women and men, you know, are equal, we see this all the time. So keep your relationship and your work separate, but always choose your relationship over work and over anything else. As a rule of thumb, you should compromise up to a point in which it doesn't cause you a damage. So wherever your partner wants to do things one way and you want to do things the other day, well, split the decision right down the middle. So if you like, let's say if you need to do either your way or a partner's way, take turns. One day you win, next day your partner win. Or if you have wisdom, let your partner win. Is this the way to keep, you know, the bias of a relationship in balance? It's all about a relationship. It's yin-yang, minus and plus. And it should be kept on the state of balance. If you really want to be in there, the very moment a relationship gets to balance, that's the end of it. I want to go now, I think, to Patrice, and I'm ready for the third round of questions. Hi, my dear. Hi, Patrice. Can you hear me? Patrice? I hope you still can hear me.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. How are you, my dear?
I'm fine. It's so good to talk to you.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Yes, you know who I am.
How are you, my beautiful?
How are you doing with that hurricane?
How are you, sweetie?
I'm fine. How are you? I love you.
I love you more.
No.
I love you more. It's all about love. You know, if we can love each other, oh, my God, this world will be paradise. If love will conquer, you know, our love for power, the true love will conquer, you know, everything else, then this world is going to be divine. And I think it's divine, and I think it will be. So how can I help you, my dear, when in terms of your question for me?
Okay, my question for you, this may sound familiar. There's been somebody who has been coming into my dreams very lucidly for over 12 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to meet this person. He is very loving, and I feel a very strong soul connection to him.
Mm-hmm.
I have been alone now for a year and a half on my own, and it would be a very perfect time to be meeting him.
Is this somebody who you only know at the level of your subconscious mind? Because that's what dreams are, reflection of subconscious mind. Now, if this is a man who you really know in person.
I haven't met him in person yet.
Yeah.
I don't know, but when I
so
dream him,
so this is the man you actually bring, so he comes in a state of a dream. And the dream is an altered state of consciousness in which you tap into your subconscious mind, which means, this is somebody who might come into your life from a different time, from a different era, or this is somebody who's probably meant to be into your life in this life again.
Right.
Which I think that that's probably the case. So in other words, you need to manifest this person to really bring this person into your life at this moment.
I'm ready.
Actually, I think that you will probably bring this person somehow right around the holidays.
Okay.
That's, I feel it's any time between end of the year to February 10th. In this period of time, I think this person will come into your life. I have to admit to you that this is a pretty attracting person, and I think that this is somebody who's looking for you exactly like you are looking for him. Does this make sense?
It surely does, because when I meet him in my dreams, it's very lucid. The dreams are very lucid, and we do know each other. And the energy between us is very, very strong, very strong.
This is what I really called a karmic relationship that they exist in a subconscious level of your being, and when the time is right in this physical world, this person will manifest, because this is somebody who's meant to be there. So
mm-hmm.
there's no doubt in my mind that this person will take a physical shape, or I do believe this, actually, this person does exist, and he did exist in other incarnations. So that's why I'm so confident that this person will enter your life very soon.
Well, you told me about him before.
Yeah.
Do you remember telling me about, you probably don't. You told me about him before in 205 when I, or 204 when I talked to you the last time.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You gave me a lot of information about him.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
You know, I talked to so many people, I think, since 2004 now.
Yeah, after I said that, you know,
in 8 years, I think I talked to so many thousands of people. And for me, it's interesting. It's impossible to remember things. It's just impossible.
Oh, I can imagine. And why would you want to, right?
No. I just simply can't. I want
right.
to remember sometimes
no,
things,
no.
but I can't. But the way, the moment I connect with you, you know, then the memory comes back. So in other words, the messages are coming from you to me.
Right.
And I strongly feel that this would be the time for you to meet this person.
Well, I'm opening my heart up after
I don't think that the time to meeting this person would have been like, let's say, 3 years. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Or 5 years ago. I think you couldn't. I think this is now the time based on the fact that the divorce, and I also think that your dreams are becoming more and more frequent and more vivid.
Right.
Because you're coming closer to our reality, the reality, you know. The dreams are very vivid. The dreams are many times premonitory. They anticipate something that will happen.
Mm-hmm.
I personally have many premonitory dreams involving different things in my life, and I do think you have a premonition about this one for a long time, but as this is about to unfold, this premonition is becoming more and more powerful. I kind of like that. I really do, you know.
Good. I'm definitely
so this
anxious.
Is all going to happen, my dear. It's all going to happen. It's right around the corner. I like him, the way he looks. I like his presence. It's going to be a fascinating experience. You know, it's so fascinating that I think it's to write a book about, you know.
Oh, tell me
that,
more.
That fascination. And you know what? I'm working on a book, actually, that is based on this topic. And if when you meet this person, I'd like to talk about this, you know, with probably using different names, but I'd like to give it as an example.
Okay, Carmen.
How powerful a karmic relationship is and how the subconscious mind will constantly give you a hint
mm-hmm.
in a state of dream of who's next into your life. So, I'm pretty excited, so I have no problem in telling you, because he's meant to come, he will just come, you know.
Great. I'm so ready after all these years and all these dreams.
Yeah.
I'm definitely
yeah,
ready.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, my sweet. So love you. Keep me posted. Let
I
me
will,
know how
Carmen.
It goes.
I love
I'm
you
excited.
Too.
This is gonna
my
be a
heart
great holiday season for you. I love you, my dear.
I love you.
Thank
sweetheart.
You for calling me. I'm gonna
thank
go
you.
To Catherine. Hi, my dear. Can you hear me? Hi, my dear.
Hi.
How are you, my sweetheart, and how can I help you?
I'm just great, thank you. And thank you so much for taking my call.
Absolutely.
My question is really about trying to get a self-discovery on relationships. I've been in 4 failed marriages, although I've learned from each one of them, and I've been celibate for about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what it is I'm doing to make the wrong choices.
It's interesting. I'm listening to you talking, and I feel from all the marriages, one of them was a very karmic one, and one of them, I think, was a marriage. Do you have a daughter with any of these men?
Yes.
I think
my youngest daughter.
Sorry?
My youngest daughter.
Your youngest daughter. I think that's where the karma was, with the man you have a youngest daughter with.
Oh, yes.
I think that was a very karmic one. And it was not an easy one, but it was very calming and was kind of meant to happen.
Yeah.
But I do see you meeting someone else. Do you live back and forth between two states, or do you live back and forth in two parts of the country where I have a sense of moving, or two different residences? Does it make sense?
Well, I thought about it, yes. I've actually thought about changing residences.
Because I feel like you go from one part of the country to another, or living in two different states, or getting another residence, something like that that has to do with the new man coming into your life. Actually, it's interesting, like, I think two of the men that you married was like, were like transition in your life, and one I don't really know why you got married to.
Really?
I don't think you know
exactly
yourself.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know if that was mine. So if I
yeah.
What?
Yeah, do you agree with me? Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like, hello, why, okay, whatever happened that you cannot even call that a marriage, you know?
Exactly.
Okay, now, is one of your husband the dad or sick or anything like this?
Well, actually, one was 16 years older than myself. He was very, very sick, but he's passed.
That's what I feel. I feel like one of the four men you're talking about is on the other side.
Yes.
I feel like all of these four are out of your life. The doors are closed. Does it make sense?
Yes.
I feel like you're done. You know, I don't feel an open door. So I'm trying to see if any of these doors are still open. No, you're good. You're good. So that allows you to move forward.
Okay.
I think there's a new man coming into your life that is around your age or probably a little bit younger, and I think that he was also married before. This man seems to have something to do with the medical field. Is there somebody new in your life right now?
No.
Yeah, so there is another man. So in other words, you are able to let go of these people, and you will bring someone new very soon. And when
okay,
I say very soon, it's hard to anticipate what's going to take a number of months, but I don't think it's probably somewhere May of the next year, probably much sooner. I do see you meeting somebody. It's interesting, this other person is in another area. The person I'm seeing you coming for good into your life is also somebody who is meant to come, which makes me believe this will also be a karmic situation for you.
Okay, because I was really wondering about my last husband. We divorced in 2007-2008, and but now I was about 7 years older than he, and it seemed like, you know, we had the connection, but it seemed like there was so much going on that
I feel like this man was very influenced. I don't know if you agree with me. I feel a very strong influence there with him. You know, whatever happened on that side of his family against you, I don't know if you know any of this, do you?
No.
I feel like in many ways, you know, this relationship could have worked better. But on the other hand, I have a feeling it looks like there is a woman in his life. Do you know that?
Yes, I'm pretty sure of it.
Yeah, I feel there's another woman. I don't think there's going back to this man. Have you thought about going back to him?
No, actually, what I mostly thought about is settling in my mind the fact that he is not, that I didn't make any mistakes, that I did make the right choices, based on his actions, you know, in filing for the divorce. And, I do know that we had outside influences, I had outside family influences, and I believe that he did too.
Yeah, this marriage was very powerful. The relationship was extremely strong. It was definitely meant to happen. We're really talking about a very powerful karmic relationship, very damaged by the outside forces.
Yes.
But I still think at the phase where you are right now, I do have a feeling of someone else, someone new. Let me know, keep me posted how it goes, and you know, you will find a great relationship soon. It's just something very positive. I'm really excited about the new person coming in, okay?
Oh, okay.
And I think you should go for that. And don't look back. In any of these instances, don't look back. But the strongest connection you really had with the last man you married, that's for sure.
Yes.
Okay, my sweet. Thank you so much for calling me back. Keep me posted. Send me emails and let me know how it goes, or call me on any of the webinar. I'm going to do it on the radio show every week. Feel free to call me so that you update me.
I certainly will. I certainly
okay.
will. Thank you. I love you, Carmen.
I love you more, my sweetheart. And now at the very end, I have another 10 minutes to talk to you about the last four secrets. You know, we said that the last three, just to summarize, you know, talking about the seven secrets, you always have to make a relationship unconditional. You always have to simplify a relationship. You always have to compromise. But what's very important is you have to be best friends. Your partner should be always your best friend. It's so beautiful when two people also not only love each other, but they like each other, you know, and so they are friends. And that's very rare, because most relationships function on a level of habit, dependency, physical love. These are the levels the relationship function. The dependency and the physical connection and the habit. You get used to each other and that's it. But where is the companionship? Where is the mutual alliance? Where is the amicitia, which people use in Latin, the fuel of true friendship, is always missing in most modern relationships. In fact, our friends always serve as getaway for our relationship. So when we have a problem, we call a friend to chat about what's going on with our husband, what's going on with our mate. So when we want to go out and have fun, we call our best friends to have a night on the town that we wouldn't normally think to do this with our partner. So that's what's missing. So one of the secrets is the friendship. This creates, you know, a connection, it's a powerful component that is always missing. I know that many, many people are calling me, you know, and they're telling me so much about the love they have for their spouse, but they never say a thing like, I can't stand, you know, when my house, they always say things like, I can't stand when my wife does this, or I hate when my husband acts like this. They always telling me what they dislike or like in their partner, but they don't necessarily try, as I said, to create that friendship connection. So it's imperative that you like who you are with, and you always enjoy their mannerisms, and you tolerate their behavior, and it becomes part of something that you should integrate into your life. So you need to speak more openly to your partner. You have to tell your partner what you normally tell your friends. You have to seek advice from your partner, which we rarely do. We don't go to seek advice from our partner. We go to our therapist, we go to whatever, to your mother, to know. Encourage your partner to speak to you about, you know, sometimes you live in the home with your partner and you don't even know what he's going through. You don't really know what happens to his job. You don't really know what his plans are. You don't know what his goals. As I said, that's the missing link. The missing link is that kind of a bond, the glue of any relationship that makes a relationship unbreakable. Is that kind of, it's like a mental exercise. You know, you have to take on a mentality as you and him against the world. But to reach that point, you have to get to know him. You have to get to create that an unbreakable bond. I want you to do things together. I want you to wake up to a new habit. I want you to include your partner in your social life. Don't shut them out just because you don't think it's fun to be with them. Learn to treat your significant other as your best friend. Loyalty is building through this, and you can finally enjoy life together. You can laugh together. You can dance together. It's the best medicine that a relationship need in order to build the structure, in order to make it really, as I said, as amazing as it can be. Number five, never admit their weaknesses. So never play on your partner's weakness. That's a big mistake. That can damage any relationship. Never tell somebody what they're doing wrong. Never go and tell your sister that that's what your husband did. Because this will have the same effect as it is like a wound, you know. The more you tell a child this is not the way to do it, the more you build insecurity, the more you make him do the things the wrong way. So I want you to always be proud of your partner. Whenever you talk to anybody about your partner, talk it in such a way like put them on a pedestal. And every day remember that whatever they're doing must be the right thing. So you need to support your partner. Attend their events, you know, back up their ideas. Help them in whichever way you can. One major element that can build a relationship is forget the past and create new memories. That's a major thing in a relationship. Assuming that things can be damaged in a relationship, let's say this already happened, just because your partner did something wrong or you disagree, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to ruin everything. You have to be able to erase. You have to be able to let go, to put things in the past and close their doors. And never bring up the incidents that happened 10 years ago. Some of you always bring up the mistakes. You always bring up. I was giving you an example of a patient of mine who always brings up the fact that her husband did something wrong. And their relationship will fall apart if she continues to do that. So forget the past and create new memories. Craft your future. That's so important. You know, always think of your partner as tomorrow, as part of the future. You know, envision your life with your partner 5 years from now, 10 years from now. So choose to create a future in which you and your partner make the most of every day together. And keep reinventing, you know, yourself and erase the pattern of the past. It's exactly like the two of you have dreams together, dream to build a home together. And again, embark on doing it. And the last thing is don't take everything so seriously, because your spouse will commit errors along the way and you will commit errors. So some errors might be greater than others, but it's your responsibility to know how to distinguish between major errors and minor mistakes. So in general, as I said, learn to practice that forgiveness and learn to practice things to be light. Don't take things too seriously. So if your husband, let's say, snores loud, and if your partner has a problem being too tired someday, you know, there are things that are unique about your partners. Don't create a reason for arguments that are not valid. So let your partner be who the partner is, and admire them for their weaknesses, for their strength, and for everything that represents them. So relationship reflect what's within you. The healthier your relationship, the greater the indication that you yourself are a healthy, happy, spiritual being. Relationships are yours to mold. Nothing is set in stone in a relationship. If you dislike aspects of a relationship, work with your partner to change them. There's always something to change, and together there's nothing you can't achieve. So work each other, work every day on each other, work every day on yourself. Your efforts will be reflected in the state of your relationship. The more you practice self-improvement, the more you will inspire your partner to improve, and your relationship will flourish steadily. So put a lot of effort in the seven secrets today and watch your relationship transform from a good relationship to an amazing one. Keep your relationship simple. Keep your relationship pure. Keep your relationship unconditionally and committed fully to your partner. Set your ego aside and compromise to a healthier degree. And tell yourself, I'm proud. Tell yourself, I'm proud of my partner. Tell your partner, I'm proud of you, to replenish his faith and replenish the faith that exists between the two of you. So utilize your rational mind and don't formulate assumption. And if your partner has made mistakes, as I said, forgive them. Create a new reality, beautiful memories to replace the hurtful ones, because pain, suffering, mistakes, they do happen in a relationship. So laugh along the way, laugh every step of the way. Don't take everything too seriously. Nothing is quite as bad as you attempt to make it. So the way you choose to react to your circumstances will determine their outcome. So everything, as I said, in life is your attitude. Work on your attitude and always remember relationship is a reflection of you. I want to tell you I'm coming to an end of this because it's been already an hour and a half, and oh my God, this was running so fast. But it was such a pleasure for you to join me on my first ever webinar on the topic of the 7 secrets to an amazing relationship. And I'd love to do it again because I know there's so many of you. I had hundreds of questions I was not able to answer, only very few. But, you know, visit my website, carmenhara.com. Send me an email to carmenhara@aol with your questions. Go to my fan page on Facebook. I have 22,000 followers, and send me emails from there. And then until the next time, I send you all my love, all the positive energy in the world. I hope that you are safe. I hope that you are blessed. I hope that you will experience the most amazing relationship. And I do hope that my guidance is important to you. And I am so grateful for your friendship and for the fact that you're in my life, for your calls, for sharing, you know, everything with me. I'm here for you. And I'll be back soon, and we'll talk again soon. And again, thank you for listening, and please receive all my love and all the positive energy, and thank you for listening. I'm Carmen Hara, and God bless you. Thank you.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.